Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
We're back with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Good, bad. It's going to be like a drama every week. It's going to be awesome.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this now Sunday afternoon, taking you up until 2 o'clock. We'll hand things over to Mr. Bo Johnson, who's going to come in and I'm sure be hot and ready with the Braves takes. Been some less than ideal baseball played the last couple of days. My sister just sent me a text. She is up in Washington, D.C. right now with my niece as they've been, doing the classic, late elementary, early middle school trip to Washington, D.C., where you go check out all the monuments and the White House and all of that fun stuff. And so I've been having all of the FOMO of that. But my sister just sent me a video of the changing of the guards at the – I forget what – National Cemetery, that is. I forget the name. I can't think of it. But the reason why I brought that up is so I was watching in the break the changing of the guard. You know, very solemn ceremony of, changing out the flags, and the soldiers are marching very precise and everything like that. Well, we just had a changing of the guards here in the Kia Studios. We go from producer to producer. Producer Dom's in the building now, so excited to go the rest of the 2 hours of this show with you, sir. Look, it's been an interesting time the last couple of weeks. Last week, obviously, I was hot and ready to go when it came to this number 8 overall pick with the Atlanta Falcons and the conversation around going with Michael Penix and going with Kirk Cousins for the now. And, honestly, I've been curious to see how other teammates for this Atlanta Falcons team felt about this decision. There was also an interesting question asked to a guy who very much a leader on this Atlanta Falcons team, Jesse Bates, and just what the kind of the conversation has been around with Penix being selected at 8, given that you have to think a veteran in Jesse Bates is potentially wanting someone on the defensive side of the ball, wanting a guy who is going to make an impact right now. And so you wonder how those conversations go about with the front office, with the coaching staff, when you do make such a monumental pick that is clearly for the future of your team. And you've got guys who are here now, want to win here now. So it's very curious to see how those conversations go, how players handle them. So I found it very interesting to hear from Jesse Bates this week asked specifically, hey, how did Terry Fontenot address the team when it came to Michael Penix Jr.?
Uh, No, he did not. There has not been anything said about that. I don't think there should be anything said about it. You know, this is the league that we play in. This is what happens. That's why there's a draft to bring in new players. You know, it's uncomfortable conversations, obviously, but, you know, that's part of what we do, not as just football players, but life as well.
Okay, so here's something. The reason why I brought this audio up is for the simple fact of, so Jesse, as a veteran, as a leader on this team, says, okay, so Terry Fontenot, so the front office, coaching staff, no one has addressed the team about what is a big decision. And now you might feel, well, that's not, these are professionals. These guys get paid to play the game. You know, these are not decisions that are up to the players, very much true, and so they don't need to be addressed about these things. However, in Jesse's own answer, he kind of told on this a little bit. Now, I talked about last week, and then the Falcons telling on themselves in that it feels the interim, the Kirk Cousins experiment, isn't going to be one that truly brings about winning. It's just going to bridge the gap and not be poor quarterback play in Atlanta. But Jesse talked about the uncomfortable conversations. And I truly wonder, are Terry and Raheem willing to have the uncomfortable conversations with this team? Because when you bring in a group of players who, like I said, are ready to win now, like the Atlanta Falcons have been making those next steps. You bring in a new head coach. There are those teams that are quite clearly, when players sign there, they know maybe a money grab or maybe a place that I can go and get my highlight tape going before I go to a true contender. But it feels like for the players who are on this team, when they saw Kirk Cousins being added, it was like, oh, clear indication that this is a move being made to win now. And so when you go and draft for the future, it just feels like, I get you wouldn't have the conversation beforehand, even though I absolutely would have had the conversation with Kirk Cousins. Look, I understand the whole, he's making a lot of money. But anyone at any job, if you had to work next to your replacement, that would be weird. That would be awkward. You feel like you would want to maybe prep a guy that has been in the building for a very short amount of time, has not even thrown officially a pass for your team, that this was in the cards. Didn't even have to tell him that this is what you were going to do. Just warning him that it was in the cards. And it feels like addressing the team, having the uncomfortable conversation of, hey, guys, we believe in all of you, but this is a move that we wanted to make for the health of the future of this organization. I feel like guys can come to terms with that. Just feels a bit of a common courtesy kind of thing. Like, I understand this whole, it's their job, it's the profession, all of that. But these players, they're people too. And my thing is, would you rather guys going around gossiping in the locker room or address it, air it all out in the open, get leadership like a Jesse Bates to speak on the matter, put it to bed and move on? I just feel like not addressing it is causing the elephant to still be there in the room. When you can say Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris can come to the podium every day from now to the cows come home, but people are going to wonder every single time Kirk Cousins has a bad game, is Penix coming in? Is this the time for Penix? Because if you're willing to think that it could happen, like I had callers last week calling in and saying, hey, you know, maybe you do this for a year and then you trade Kirk Cousins. If you're even having those thoughts, then you're willing to come to terms with this not working. You don't think the Falcons players on that team are wondering about those things themselves of, is this going to work? And so it feels like airing out everything, addressing it, putting it to bed, moving on, is the way to go about this. But hey, I'm not in that locker room. I'm not the one in charge. I'm just found it very interesting that Jesse Bates says, oh, no, it doesn't need to be addressed, and then talks about uncomfortable conversations. And it's like, well, it sounds like there weren't the uncomfortable conversations happening. So it just makes you wonder. All right, continuing in this Check the Tape segment, touching on some audio that I just found interesting over the last few days. Look, these NBA playoffs have been incredible because it feels like we're not only getting great basketball, but we're also getting a changing of the guard. We're getting teams who have these older vets underperforming up out the paint. We don't have to continue these conversations. We're getting not to say that I don't appreciate the Steph Currys, the LeBron James, the Kevin Durants, the Damian Lillards. But look, that Milwaukee Bucks team was never going far in these playoffs, dealing with injuries to Giannis, dealing with injuries to Damian Lillard, dealing with the fact that clearly there is a disconnect between a second coach this season and the team. Now, you can go one way or the other about how you feel about Doc and whether he's worked out and that sort of thing. I feel it was obvious that Adrian Griffin was not working, even though they were winning. So if a move was going to be made, why dilly-dally around and why not make that move? I'm not saying I would have hired Doc, but that's the direction that they went. However, as we've all now seen, after the Pacers sent the Bucks home, you had a very, very uncomfortable game six in which Patrick Beverley, acting like a child, throws a ball into the stands once at a woman, second time at a different Pacers fan, has the whole situation that happens in the locker room with an ESPN producer who is there as a reporter just trying to get a quote from you, an insignificant basketball player on this Bucks team, but a veteran who you would expect to hear veteran leadership type things from. So here we get Draymond Green. Draymond Green, yes, that Draymond, the one who this season suspended for all kinds of shenanigans during games. Draymond Green in his podcast, The Draymond Green Show, addresses Patrick Beverley. You got to listen to this.
That one might have been crazier than the CP push because it opens up an entirely different can of worms. Like, Adam's going to have a problem on his hands with this one because it's about as close as you can get to going in the stands. That is forbidden for us. Then Pat didn't follow it up very well because he followed it up with getting into it with the female reporter about not subscribing to his podcast. I ain't never heard somebody say, if you ain't subscribed to my podcast, don't ask me a question. I actually try to take the complete opposite approach because I am very appreciative of the NBA supporting podcasts the way they do. Pat, you can't keep having these moments, man, at the end of these losses. You're starting to look like the kid that's going to grab the ball and say, I'm going home. This is, I can't play. We out of here. We leaving the park. It's my ball. Come on, Pat.
We've really reached the point, folks, where Draymond Green is the voice of reason. I said it in the teaser coming from last segment. Like, this is truly the pot calling the kettle black. But honestly, Draymond Green has a very fair point. Because here's the thing that Draymond has not done. Draymond has fought with teammates. Draymond has fought with other players from other teams on the court, gotten kerfluffles, gotten the cheap shots and all that stuff. Draymond has not gone into the stands. Draymond has not gotten into some sort of true physical disagreement and altercation with a fan because he knows where the line is. And this idea that Patrick Beverley, who just a couple years ago was such a fun story with that Timberwolves team and the play-in and making it out and Pat standing on the scorer's table.
Crying like he won a championship.
Yeah, like he had won a championship. And you know we let it down. We let it slide. We leaned into it. It was like, oh, such a fun moment for a guy who has had it so tough in the league and, you know, has had such a journey to help this team get to this point. You know, oh, what a great story. And now we've gone here where Patrick Beverley is a punk. You know what needs to happen with Patrick Beverley? He needs to brush up on his Mandarin. Because dude's about to be playing in China. Like, dude's about to be playing overseas. Because teams can deal with a lot of stuff if you're putting up true production. That is not Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley is brought there to teams as a enforcer, as a veteran to help the young guys come along, and also supply some minutes at guard. But I just don't think that Pat's good for any. Like I don't think he truly realizes how badly he has screwed this up. ESPN has now banned him from the four-letter network. No interviews with Patrick Beverley. They don't want them on their network anymore. That's hard to do. That's truly hard to do. To get ESPN to go, we want nothing to do with you. But interacting like that with a reporter, which apparently is not the first time that's happened. I found out through a friend that Milwaukee reporters have actually said that this is a thing that Pat's done. And so a lot of the reporters have just been like, I don't need any Patrick Beverley quotes. I'm good. Because sure, I see his podcast pop up on my like TikTok and thing every now and then, but he's not saying anything worth truly listening to. He screwed himself. And it's just, it's wild that we've gotten to this point with a guy like Patrick Beverley, who we were trying to push as being a really, he pulled himself up out of bouncing around outside the NBA to make it. And he's wasted it because he's shown, as Draymond Green said, he's the kid who grabbed the ball and went home. And what a disappointment. All right, when we get back, producer Dom is in the chair now. We're going to do an Ask the Dopey segment. 5 questions, sports or non-sports. We'll get into it next right here on the Dopey Millennial Show. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Apple.
Getting your weekend sports talk fix here with the Dopey Millennial Show.
My ears are bleeding.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. And the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you till 2 o'clock today. Coming up in about 20 minutes from now, we're going to have Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst here on 92.9 The Game, to talk about last night's 2-1 loss for Atlanta United, which, look, five straight matches now that Atlanta hasn't pulled out a win. First time that's happened since 2021. First time they've lost back-to-back matches at Mercedes-Benz Stadium since 2021, and that was when Frank DeBoer got fired. So you gotta wonder. Want to know how hot the seat is? Because it feels like from the fan base, the seat for Gonzalo Pineda, pretty hot. Pretty hot. But we'll see what Jason's got to say coming up in about, like I said, 20 minutes from now at 12:40. However, now going to get into a segment, always a favorite of mine here on the Dopey Millennial Show, Ask the Dopey, where Dom, as a Dopey Millennial, asks me, Caleb, Dopey questions. Or maybe, I don't know, very smart questions. Who knows? But look, Dom, I've got to ask you, you played the bumper music coming in.
Yeah, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
I genuinely was sitting here going, I don't remember which song that is. Like, that we have now reached that point. There's an entire diss track album out now, essentially, right, from Kendrick. That I'm right. Like, which one is that?
So that's Meet the Grams. That's
Meet
the
Gram.
That
that's the middle one.
Yeah, that's the one where Drake dropped his Family Matters and Kendrick was like, oh, that was cute.
Yeah. Also, okay, so I talked earlier to Noel a little bit about this whole thing, just because, you know, I mentioned in Noel the fact that this weekend has become, as much as, you know, fun, enjoyable experience, almost like a full-time job.
Yes.
Of being like, oh, someone dropped. I gotta go listen. I gotta catch up. I gotta break out. Scroll through Instagram because I gotta find all the posts and what we're talking about. I gotta let some white guy on TikTok explain to me everything that's happening. Like, I feel like that is where we've gotten with a lot of this rap beef.
Yes.
That I've been thankful that some of these later things have been more obvious, and specifically on Kendrick's side, of just being like, I don't like you. I hate everything that you're about. And like that, I can get behind, because I'm like, that's just straight up disrespect that we don't have to get into a lot of details with. Also, responding from Drake, responding by, I feel like, making a lot of hip hop fans very frustrated, crushing the Good Kid, Mad City van.
Well, here's
disgusting.
What here's what I'll say, and you know what, I have questions, but if you want this to just be a beef
fine.
Dissection, I'm completely fine with that, because I was gonna ask if that's cool with you. So I don't mind that. I like the antics. That's what Drake does. However, this is something that I tweeted earlier. Kendrick Lamar is a real rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Drake is a pop star who occasionally raps. And granted, he's a very good rapper when he does it.
Yeah.
But his pen don't work the same as Kendrick's does. And that's the issue. And like, to your point of, like, it's just a 24/7, like, standing on the wall, making sure what's coming next. That was literally me in here yesterday. I'm trying to cut highlights for United, and Dylan and I are going back and forth on Twitter, because Dylan just seems to keep thinking that somehow Drake is winning this beef for whatever reason. And literally, as I'm cutting highlights, Dylan's like, Drake is back on the clock. Kendrick dropped again. And I'm like, what? So, like, I'm over here scrambling, trying to cut highlights, listen to the game, listen to the beef. It's been fantastic. I'm so excited for hip hop right now.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is like, I feel like this started off when Kendrick did the Like That track, of just being like, things have gotten too status quo. Like, everyone's just happy with one another. Everyone's just happy-go-lucky. You know, the fact that Drake and J. Cole are going on tour with one another. Like, what happened to guys challenging each other? It feels like it started from a place of let's keep this fun, but nobody's been sparring with each other for quite some time. So hip hop, let's bring out the boxing gloves. Let's get some sparring going on back and forth. And now we have reached the point of true, just absolute disgust. And it feels like we've got one side of Drake being like, hey, I want to prove that I fit in and that I'm the best. And that Kendrick's just being like, I don't even have to prove I'm the best. I just hate you. I just hate everything that you're about.
Right. Right.
It's a weird place for all of us fans who are like somewhere in between, because absolutely, like my music taste, love a good Drake song. No. Love a Kendrick song. Love J. Cole, yeah, who has smartly bowed out of this a long time ago.
Say, listen, and we clowned him for getting out of this beef. Now, I will say, I will still clown him for the way he did it.
100%.
I'm not mad at you for getting out.
Nope.
Because I'm almost sure Kendrick told him, hey, if you want to respond, that's cool. But just know, I'm about to take this somewhere that I don't think you're comfortable taking it.
Mm-hmm.
And J. Cole, wisely, you know, that's wisdom. Getting older, you understand.
Exactly.
You make the mature decision sometimes. Sometimes you're going to get clowned for making the mature decision. Sometimes you're going to get clowned for being the bigger person. But in the end, you come out as the right one. It's the right decision.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Because the only thing now, you can't, I don't want to hear any bars from J. Cole moving forward about being the greatest rapper alive.
Yes, you lost that.
You can take that off. But honestly, can still make some incredible music without having that in there. That was just because I have grown up in the camp of J. Cole, of him specifically being my favorite amongst these three.
Mm-hmm.
That has now transitioned over, as I have been reminded of, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so when it comes to the big three, I have always been Team Kendrick. I've always been Team Kendrick, and I am so happy because I feel like as a Kendrick fan, I was waiting for this moment because everyone keeps on was always like, oh, why does Kendrick act like he's the boogeyman? Because he is. You're seeing why. You're seeing why, and I'm happy we're seeing this side of Kendrick.
Yeah, it's definitely fun, and like I said earlier, for anyone listening who is, like, not in on this, who's like, oh, look, like, I'm too old to be getting involved, or I'm too mature, or this just isn't my genre of music that I like, I'd just like to tell you, we all love drama, and we are getting bars about you are short, we are getting bars about your money splits with your label are bad, and you're giving up a ton of money. We're getting, you like underage women, which is leading to Instagram posts being deleted. I mean, we're getting, I hate you for everything that you stand for.
I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress.
Yeah.
It was literally a bar Kendrick said.
I mean, I feel like everyone out there knows someone who that applies to. It just, this may not be your type of music. This may not be something that you're used to diving into, but we all can get behind the drama because it's just been so good.
Yeah.
The only interesting part of this, and this is something, Dom, that I talked to Noelle about earlier, is just the fact of, I don't think for Drake's camp, and you mentioned Dylan earlier, which we know how much of a Drake stan Dylan is. Love him for it. But I don't think it changes any of Drake's fan base as to where they stand.
Yeah, well, that's because they're stans. They're delusional. Like, this is what they've done his entire career. Whenever anything comes out about Drake, his fans are just going to be like, oh, but his streams and replay value. And he gets, and like, they just smother the fire. Like, Drake's fans have been a blanket to smother a lot of the fires that have come his way.
Yeah.
And that's what's been able to hold him up.
But honestly, I don't
know if it's going to work this time, though, because the consensus is Drake is getting his head smashed.
I think he was looking for respect amongst his peers, and he is not getting that. And so I think he just hard pivots into pop, like, even harder. And
that's the issue, because with an MC like Kendrick, who's a real lyricist, you're not going to beat me with a pop record. You got to get in the booth and rap.
That's the thing, is, like, Drake came after him for the pop records with what, Imagine Dragons, and did he have one with
Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift, yeah,
Bad
was the other
Blood
one
remix. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, And even that didn't work. Oh, man. All right. Questions, though, for Ask the Dopey.
Yeah, real quick, we'll run through some questions here. Obviously, the Hawks have some very big decisions to make this offseason. My question to you, how many different starters will the Hawks have next season?
That is a great question. Okay, so we'll go through. So you got Trae Young, DeJounte Murray. I would put DeAndre Hunter back in that three spot. If we're talking about starters, even though I know after the injury he came off the bench a bunch, but so Trey, DeJounte, DeAndre, Jalen, and Clint.
Of those five named, Jalen Johnson is the only one I'm 100% sure will be back next year.
Yeah. No, like, you're right.
Think
so,
about that.
So I am of the opinion, and I talked a little bit about this earlier, because when Trey made those comments on his podcast, kind of further double downing on if this isn't going to be a true contending team, I don't want to be a part of it. Like, that is not word for word what he said, but that is the point that he was making, that we all, like, he has made it clear, I want to be in Atlanta, but I want to win. And when he started getting into processes and down the road and that sort of thing, a lot of the stuff that I believe that Landry Fields and this front office has talked about, that I think I'm starting to gather the opinion that Trey is going to be out. It's going to be either him or DeJounte. They are for sure. I can say this on May the 5th, 2024. The Hawks are for sure keeping either Trey Young or DeJounte Murray. I don't think they keep both, and I don't think they trade both. But I think one of them is gone. We can look at the numbers to show that that doesn't work with them both on the floor. However, I am of the opinion that, especially with DeAndre Hunter not being at exit interviews, with him taking to Twitter, or excuse me, Instagram this week, I had this in my notes, super weird, where he goes on to, yeah, DeAndre Hunter this week on Instagram, no expectation equals no disappointment. What are we doing sub-posting like we're in high school? I don't understand it. And I think very much so the way that his season ended, he could for sure be gone. I think Clint sticks around, but Clint as a starter, I wonder about. If there is any way that you could have Clint coming off the bench, man, I think that would be a really good thing for the Hawks. Just because I know a lot of people love to hate on Clint, but his production and his work on the boards is really strong. I think he doesn't work well within the offense. As
Steve likes to say, he shot the two-footer, one-foot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, his putbacks are just unreal, the way that he is not able to put it in the basket on a consistent basis. But I do wonder if he sticks around. I wonder about them choosing between Clint and Onyeka, because with Onyeka's injury, and then his just kind of his setbacks this season, I have to wonder about what they think about his progress. So it's truly about whether the Hawks go in on making a push to win this year or settling for the future. I think they settle for the future. And so that would include trading Trey. I think it would include trading DeAndre. I think it would include trading Clint. And then signing Sadiq, bringing him back, and putting a smorgasbord of a roster together around pieces and whoever they draft this season with their hopefully, you know, high draft pick.
All righty, and we got time for these two are quick because they're quick one-word answers, basically.
Sure.
Over under 1.5 games played for Michael Penix Jr. in his rookie season.
Over under one and a half games. I'm gonna take the under. Because I think it's one.
Just one? Okay.
Well, games played.
Games played.
Uh-huh. I was going to say games started, because I think he starts a game.
You think he starts a game?
I think Kurt ends up getting hurt, because this is just...
okay.
Like, this is what happens when you draft a 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
I think something ends up happening, and he makes a spot start.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would put... But 1.5 for him coming in a game, I would take the over.
Okay.
On that, because I could for sure see the Hawks being in a position up in a game, because I'm going to be optimistic about this, no matter how bad of a decision I think it was. Not because I don't like Michael. I like Michael a lot.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I could see him coming in two games to play mop-up duty or
mop
or
up
making,
the Panthers.
Hopefully. Hopefully. Or I think he. I'm big on he makes one spot start for an injured Kirk Cousins, because this is just – it feels like, look, every quarterback every year at some point feels like is dealing with an injury and he has to sit out at least a game. Kirk is 36, so I would expect him to be a part of that as well.
All right, and last one. True or false, the Falcons will play two home playoff games.
False.
False, okay.
False. I think they either get a wild card game or they get one game because they won the division. And I think whichever game that is, they lose it. Just because I don't think this is a true
contender yet.
Contending team. But that's because it's year one of a lot of change. Year one of a lot of change. I just don't think teams succeed that deep into the playoffs. And so, yeah, I don't think there's going to be two home playoff games for that. But I could see them winning the NFC South, but just not winning in the postseason after that point.
Fair enough. Well, Caleb, in the words of Kendrick Lamar, I see dead people.
Oof. All right, when we get back, hopefully the dead people aren't Atlanta United, because they've not been playing ideal as of late. And we're wondering if it starts from the head in Gonzalo Pineda. We're going to talk about it next with Jason Longshore right here on the Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Latest weekend sports talk with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Dump the old ish, upgrade to the new.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you, going up until 2 o'clock today. We'll hand things over to Mr. Bo Johnson. Look, last night I was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. First time I've been to an Atlanta United game this season. And I felt like, hey, you know, maybe the Five Stripes are missing just a little bit of a lucky charm. Because the last time I covered this team full-time happened to be the season that they won a championship. And so, you know, just bringing my presence in the building along with a friend of mine who brought her son for his first Atlanta United match ever, as Isaac's, he's about 7-8 months old. It was like, look, I feel like I'm bringing a lot of like good vibes, a lot of good energy into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Felt good against looked like a really good Minnesota team. But things didn't go my way. I was not the lucky charm, and Atlanta United falls 2-1 to Minnesota. So I want to bring in, go out to the waitfor.com hotline and bring in Jason Longshore, our Atlanta United analyst here on 92.9 The Game. You can follow Jason on Twitter at Longshoe. Jason, how you doing, man?
Doing good. We were not the lucky charm last night. We could use one. I would take any suggestions of lucky charms at this point, because I'm pretty superstitious and I've tried my tricks for lucky charms and nothing's working right now.
Look, honestly, I'm thinking the Kyrie Irving or the Dansby Swanson, the sage, burning the sage and walking around the field. Maybe that's the next step for this team, because as I mentioned earlier in the show, five straight matches now without a win, two straight losses at the Benz. When it comes to specifically last night, Jason, what do you just feel like the biggest issues with this team was?
Yeah, it's really tough to break down. And look, it's easy to yell and scream and change this, change that. But when you look at the numbers over these five games, and they're real, they're not made up. And last night, yes, you had more shots after you fell behind. That's typical. That's normal. But you're creating enough chances to win games. You're not scoring enough goals at the moment. You know, you can't ask the defense to do everything. Last year, it was the opposite. You were scoring goals, and the defense wasn't getting things done. Now it's flipped. Your defense has been generally good enough. Last night, you conceded two, one off a set piece, where you're just beat on the back post, and the second goal is a turnover. The problem is you're not getting these goals early enough in games. And I keep coming back to the fact that this team has 14 goals this season, only three in the first half. Mm. When goals are scored changes games. Sure. Goals, obviously, in the sport are everything. But when you get goals earlier in games, it changes the flow. It changes the way that the other team feels. It changes the momentum, especially at home in that building. I mean, you've been in there a ton of times. You know how it goes. When you get an early goal, it feels like the roof is going to come down on you. It's such a powerful momentum builder in that building, maybe more so than any other building in the league. Three goals in the first half is not enough. It has not been good enough this season.
It's interesting that you say that, Jason, because you talked about the building, and my wife was sitting next to me during the game, and she's been someone who, from the first game that we went to, like, she was sold and was not a big soccer fan before this, but the part of the stadium experience for Atlanta United has been, you know, such a big element. And she noted that she was like, you know, I feel like there's not as many chants tonight. Like, we're not as active as we've kind of become used to. It feels like scoring could be a part of that. So I guess, like, you have playmakers and Thiago and Yorgos and all of these sorts of things. So, like, where do you see the disconnect being when it comes offensively?
It's execution. I mean, it just flat out comes down to producing, because if you're not creating chances, if you're not creating shots, okay, it's easy to break down. You can start to then get into the why. You can figure out if it's moving pieces around, if it's getting more bodies forward. You can start to really get into the chalkboard of it. But when you're taking 20 shots and not taking 20 bad shots, you're taking 20 shots in a match, you expect more than a goal. And you know, if you're taking shots from 30 yards on a regular basis and they're ending up in the stands, then yeah, it's a shot, but it doesn't really mean anything. That's sure. Not what's happening with this team. At times it's I want them to shoot more. At times I feel like maybe they look for the even better opportunity as opposed to a good opportunity. But outside of that, it's literally just down to converting chances. And you're always going to have some in a match, especially against good teams, where the one from Giakoumakis on the cross from Almada last night, which is well played, well set up. It's something this team looks for. It's something this team has scored a boatload of goals on over the past year. And Dane St. Clair makes a great save.
Yeah.
Okay. You tip your cap. That's going to happen some, and whatever. You know, last week it was the same thing in Chicago. Chris Brady maybe makes a couple extra really good saves. Doesn't matter. You're creating enough to put more goals in the back of the net, and you're just not. You know, if you want to get into, like, the whys of it, I mean, Giakoumakis coming back from injury, he's not fully sharp. He's still playing himself back into that. Sure, he's still getting some good opportunities. Almada's creating a ton of opportunities for others as well, and they're not getting converted. You know, you're getting into a point, I've talked about it a lot as well, the left wing has been an issue. Sean De Silva's been injured. He didn't produce huge numbers when he wasn't injured. Tyler Wolfe got starts there. Edwin Mosquera got starts there. Last night, flipped Saba Lobjanidze over to that side. Edwin Mosquera on the right. You're not getting enough production out of the left side. So you start to get a little slanted to the right. Teams can start to key that way just a little bit, but they're not stopping the chances coming. That's the thing. You know, like, you could get into all of that and say, well, if you get more here, you get this. The chances are still there. and they're not being put in the back of the net. And until that changes, we can sit here and X and O it to death and nothing happens. So you've got to convert your chances, and you're getting enough to convert.
Talking with Jason Longshore on the WadeFord.com hotline. Jason, I hear you on the you know, getting those chances created, but what do you make of Gonzalo Pineda kind of going to the podium and letting something that very much could be a small detail, but feels like a disconnect where he talked about at halftime they wanted to get longer passes going and that the team kind of played things short. So it's like, hey, the manager wanted the team to play one way, and then you saw an opposite style.
Yeah, he did further explain that a little bit. If you didn't miss the deeper dive into it, one reason why they weren't seeing those passes further down the field was a change that Minnesota made at halftime, and it was a really good one. We talked about it a lot in the first half on the call. Minnesota played Will Trapp deep, and Robin Laud had to stay deep. It's not really his game. He had to stay deep because Atlanta was flooding the channels in the interior channels. If you look at the field in five vertical channels, where Atlanta really wants to create is in the not the most central channel, but the two interior channels from the wings. That's where they want to create opportunities. When you force Robin Laud to turn into a defensive midfielder, that's not a good thing for Minnesota. They bring in Harvey. That changed it. Maybe that's why Atlanta United players didn't see those balls into those channels down the field that they had success with late in the first half. I thought the game was turning Atlanta's way late in the first half, last 10 minutes where you're starting to create those chances. Perhaps that's why. But when you have that conversation at halftime, this is where we're going to create weaknesses in the opposition, and the players either don't see it. They're not intentionally not following instructions. That's not how this works. And I think if you try to make 1 + 1 = 3, that's an issue.
Sure.
I think in this case, it's the change made it harder to find it, but it was still there. And you've got to trust that it's there. You've got to play those balls in behind, because the flip side of that conversation about Minnesota, I mean, we're going pretty deep into X's and O's here on this, but
sure.
The flip side is Minnesota plays a high line. So if you even don't see the clear-cut ball into that channel because Minnesota's got another player there. Okay. If you start to play a couple balls over the top, making Minnesota's back line play on their heels or play deeper, that creates opportunities. It's the chess match conversation about this game, because it's not a video game. You do things to provoke reactions in the opponent. You do things to make them either change what they're doing or create more space for you to do what you do well. And by playing short, you allowed Minnesota to compact the field. You didn't get them stretched out more. And even if you don't see that pass, it goes back to what I said about the shots. If you have a very good shot, but you try to create a better one, sometimes you end up hurting yourself in the long run. If you, in this case, have the safer pass, the shorter pass, but you don't take that more risky pass a few times, it condenses the space on you and you don't find those openings.
Jason, you mentioned the video game kind of aspect that sometimes fans can look at things when, yeah, you're playing FIFA, things not going my way. I can just quit. I can go. I can make a change, you know, and improve my player stats to 99 if I want to. And in terms of for this club, it feels like a lot of fans have gone towards the, all right, we're having things happen that haven't happened since 2021. Well, you know, DeBoer got fired at that point. So then the focus starts going to Pineda. How much of this, of currently what is happening specifically in this 5-game stretch, can be put on Pineda, and then where does this kind of lie within his job security overall?
I think I think it's two separate conversations.
Okay.
I think number one, the results in these last five to me are on execution, not on tactical setup, not on player selection, not on things that the manager controls. I think we have a We have a tendency in this sport to never give managers enough credit when things are going well, and then to fully throw all of the blame on them when they're not going well.
I think that's every league, but sure.
It is, but in this one, I think it's even more slanted because okay. Let's go Hawks for a second. Things aren't going well in a match. It's starting to turn away from you in a game. It's turning away from you. Call timeout. Mm-hmm. You can stop it. You can change things a lot more easily. You can make more subs. You can call multiple timeouts and force like the way you want the team to play a little bit more. Here, you don't have timeouts. You have limited substitutions. You can't call players over on a regular basis and talk to them. Yeah, making that run 60, 70 yards across the field, come have a conversation
sure.
with you. So I think it's even more exaggerated that the blame for managers is more unfair, in my opinion, in this sport. I don't think these last five games are managerial decisions. But job security was the second part of your question, and Gonzalo Pineda is in the last year of his contract. Known that coming in. I think the bar is high to get another contract. I think the bar was high to begin with. And does that situation, which was there before the season started, it was there when the team was playing very, very well at the beginning of the season, does that situation change the decision-making process? That I don't know. That's not my call. That's not something that I would have access to knowing how that process goes. But it is a factor in the decisions that will be made in that regard, because you're out of contract at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And have you done enough to earn another contract besides the conversation of would a change make the results better right now? I'm not convinced that it would, but we see that happen quite a bit, don't we?
Sure. Yeah. All right. Last one for you, Jason. Just what do you make of how you think Atlanta is going to attack the U.S. Open Cup on Tuesday and kind of this opponent in not Charlotte FC, but Charlotte Independence?
I think all of that we've talked about factors into Tuesday, and it changes the equation on it. Because I think if you had won last night, Tuesday, maybe you give more players who haven't seen as much time, you give them that game, and if they get the win, great, you'll get another Open Cup game and you guys will play it in a few weeks. It's not, okay, not the end of the world because the regular season is the focus, but now you need momentum. You need some confidence. You need to find some goals against a team that you should find goals against. So does that mean you see more regulars in the team on Tuesday or off the bench in the second half? I don't know. I tend to lean that way. I think this game has become more important because of the recent results in league play. But it's not a league game, and that's a tough balancing act. And these are the really hard situations in seasons where – you know, if you play players who might only be able to go 60 on Tuesday, and then that means they're going to be really limited the following Saturday in league, you're kind of right back to where you were before. You've just got to find momentum out of this game on Tuesday. You've got to find goals. You've got to find momentum. You've got to find confidence. That's the keys on Tuesday for me.
All right. It's going to be an interesting one to see. It's up in Kennesaw, right?
In Kennesaw. We'll be on the air at 6:30. 4-5 stripes countdown. Kickoff will be right about 7:30. And you mentioned the noise, the atmosphere. This team really needs to hear that right now on the field. They need that boost. It is a real boost. That's not marketing speak. Like, it's real when you hear that roar behind you, and they need it in Kennesaw, where you'll be sitting right next to the field mm-hmm. and be very loud. So hopefully we get that on Tuesday, and it's great atmosphere, and Atlanta United needs a great win.
That is Jason Longshoe. He told you when you can listen. You can follow him on Twitter at Longshoe. Jason, appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Sunday afternoon.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. When we get back on the Dopey Millennial Show, we're going to get into a leftovers because whenever I do a headline segment, I feel like I always linger too long on a couple of subjects. And for one, do we still care about horse racing? Because there was an incredible horse race yesterday. We'll talk about it next, right here on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.